You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Bang! Pow! It's Get Action, The Wire's weekly check-in with Action Station Aotearoa.
With Israel's war on Gaza now reaching its 655th day, bringing the number of casualties in the Strip to almost 60,000 Palestinians, city councils, both in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and around the world, have been adopting resolutions officially calling for a ceasefire and divesting from Israeli companies as well as other enterprises involved in weapons manufacturing. For this week's Get Action, we speak to Katrina Mitchell-Kutab, a member of the Manawatu-based human rights group Time for Action, about a petition of hers calling on the Palmerston North City Council to adopt a ceasefire motion and ethical investment policy. So, to begin, can you please tell us about your petition and your calls to the Palmerston North City Council?
Yes. So, we've got a petition out, and it's to call for an immediate permanent ceasefire in Gaza and also for ethical action in Palestine. And we're asking the Palmerston North City Council to act. And the reason we're doing it is because our local governments are not separate from global responsibility. So, our councils represent our values as ratepayers, and New Zealanders in general, we care really deeply about justice and peace and human rights. And what is going on at the moment in Palestine is absolutely unprecedented in its scale, in the legal clarity about what is actually occurring, and in the mass of lost lives that we're seeing at the moment. We've got a threat to our legal framework. If you want to protect yourself and you consider that your life as a citizen of the world is important, then we need to protect all lives. You can't just protect one and then not the other, because then the system doesn't actually work. So we're looking at the moment of legal occupation, genocide, a mass scale of killing with starvation, displacement, destruction, and unprecedented deaths of children, and legal consequences from the fallout of that, which is a destruction of our international humanitarian law. So we're asking the council to actually stand up and show us its moral leadership. It's taken moral stands before on nuclear-free zones, on apartheid, on climate change, and Palestine is actually no different and is extremely important. We would love to see our councils choose to spend our rates ethically. It's a local decision with huge global impact, and that's why we're also calling in our petition for the council to look at its local procurement and investments. What does that mean? Councils often operate internationally and use companies that operate internationally, and sometimes these companies are involved in war crimes. Sometimes they're involved in crimes against humanity. And in this case, Israel is involved in nearly every single war crime and crime against humanity that you can think of. There are thousands of UN resolutions against it. And it's been asked to leave the Palestinian-occupied territories by September this year. What's it doing? It's actually creating mass destruction, it's perpetrating a genocide, ethnic cleansing in the West Bank and in Gaza. So we're asking the council to make sure that in the future it doesn't spend its money on any companies involved in the occupied Palestinian territories. And this is not like a nice optional ask. Councils have obligations through ethical governance to ensure that they are following law, not just domestic, but international law. And we have been given, this government, unfortunately, which is not acting, it's being given responsibilities through what we call third state responsibilities, because it's a signature, New Zealand, to the Geneva Convention, the Rome Statute, and the Genocide Convention. We have an obligation as New Zealanders to prevent genocide, not wait till genocide has happened, but prevent it, to not recognize illegal situations like Israel's occupation, and to stop being complicit in any war crimes. And that was set out by the ICJ and the ICC and the UN General Assembly last year. So we're waiting for the councils to actually step up to the mark and do something.
So are you aware of any investments that the Palmerston North City Council holds in Israel or any companies involved in the war on Gaza?
No, they don't. We've done a lot of research, and we want to make sure that that actually stays where it is. So this is an easier option for the council. We're not asking the council now to say, hey, you've got to cut ties here, there and everywhere. We're saying, great that you're not involved in any companies at present. Let's make sure that continues, and you need to set a precedent. And we're hoping that this precedent will domino around New Zealand, have a domino effect to ensure other councils actually stand up and do what our government is not doing at this point.
Have you had the chance to discuss a ceasefire motion with any Palmerston North City Council representatives? And if so, what was their response?
It's been really positive. We've had a great response from a lot of councils that we have spoken to thus far. We would like to speak to the mayor. We're hoping to speak to him at the end of August. He's been very busy, so he's been unable to speak to us for a few months. But we are hoping, with the support of Palmerston North residents, and with these petitions, luckily, it's not just the residents who are able to sign the petition. It's individuals from around New Zealand who feel strongly about what is going on, and even those internationally. And so far, it's creating a lot of support. And I think that's based on the frustration and the anger and the devastation and the complete horror that we are seeing and what we're witnessing is happening in Gaza and the West Bank and to Palestinians.
So similar ceasefire motions have been passed in Far North, Whanganui, Nelson and Dunedin. Do you think that a similar motion in Palmerston North could lead to greater action from the central government regarding the war in Gaza?
Yes, most certainly. It's really important that local councils take this principled stance because they can influence government's policy in moving forward. They are sending a message to the government that this is what the people want. They are representatives of the citizens, of the ratepayers of the area, and the ratepayers are saying, this is what we feel is really important. It's life-saving action. It's non-violent resistance. It's showing moral clarity, and we're saying we don't accept what is going on in our name. So most definitely, councils represent public conscience, and geopolitical alliances, central government might be influenced by those, but local councils reflect real community values. They reflect, in this case, compassion, inclusion, justice, a strong sense of support for international law. And then we're thinking about, well, what kind of country are we building for our tamariki? Like, do we shrug at genocide or do we stand for peace, no matter how far away the suffering, which also affects us? It's really about rejecting the normalization of mass killing and occupation.
How would you respond to people that might say that local councils in Aotearoa are too small to make a difference or that this is beyond their area of focus?
Local councils, if it was too far beyond their scope or they weren't able to make any difference, we just have to look at New Zealand's history. So, for example, Palmerston North Council was one of the first councils that stood for a nuclear-free city before the government even passed that legislation. And that had a great impact, as it did with other councils, on forcing the government to look at its nuclear-free policy. So councils in New Zealand have declared support in climate emergencies. They stood apartheid against apartheid South Africa. And those actions don't solve these crises, but they shift national policy and reflect the values of the people they represent. So, for example, you've got cities like Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Barcelona, Spain, London. All of them have decided not to pursue any kind of support for Elbit systems, and therefore they've cut ties. And what that does is it has a flow-on effect to what is going on internationally and to our governments.
So that's about everything from me, but is there anything else you'd like to add before you finish off?
I just wanted to really ask citizens within New Zealand and Palmerston North to really think about where they want to put their ratepayers' money. Like, what are we doing in New Zealand? How do we want our children, you know, what kind of world do we want our children to grow up in? If we don't support the rights of one people, then you don't support the rights of any other. And it's very clear that Israel itself is based on and has been based on since 1948. The only way it can exist is through ethnic cleansing, is through displacement, and is through constant killing and violence. And this is not a world that we would like to support and not a world that we need to grow up in. So please use your voice, use your vote, use your hands and your fingers. And for those who say, I don't know what to do, it's a big issue, this is exactly what you can do. Is stand up and make a difference. Go out and sign our petition. You can get it on Action Stations. There'll be people around Palmerston North waiting for you to sign. And just, you know, the elections are coming up in the council. Who is supporting it within your council, with your councillors? And if they're supporting it, you know that they are supporting your rights as a civilian and as a human being. It will be very clear in the next few months what is going on in our council.
And that was Katrina Mitchell-Kutab from Time for Action talking to us about a petition of hers calling on the Palmerston North City Council to adopt a ceasefire motion and ethical investment policy in response to Israel's war on Gaza. If you'd like to sign this petition, you can find it on our.actionstation.org.nz under the name Call for an Immediate Permanent Ceasefire in Gaza and Ethical Action for Palestine.
Wow, important stuff.
That was Get Action on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.